It's been 4 years since Damian Henderson was shot to death in North Champaign, and police are no closer to finding the culprit than they were in 2014. In her sixth Cold Case podcast, News Gazette Media's Carol Varell studies the case of Damian Henderson, including a chat with his distraught parents. "I just know that somebody knows what happened to him," his mother tells Carol. Carol talks to police, the family, and coaches of Damian Henderson, who was a star at Champaign Central, in her latest podcast. Listen to it when we come back. Hey, Jim Rosso, News Gazette Media Vice President, reminding you that we have a ton of podcasts available at newsgazette.com every day of the week. From Dave Gentry's Morning Show to Scott Beatty's News Hour to Brian Barnhart's Penny for Your Thoughts. Head to our website, newsgazette.com, and search for podcasts.
Charlene Haynes-James is planning to decorate a Christmas tree in her Champaign home for the first time in 4 years. She just couldn't do it until now. Her world was shattered when someone shot and killed her son, 27-year-old Damian Henderson, 4 years ago on November 18th, just before Thanksgiving. Her life forever changed, along with the lives of Damian's other family members and friends, and his girlfriend, facing each day with big holes in their hearts, and Damian's precious little girls, Jada and Janiyah, losing their daddy. He was known to be a really good dad. They were his heart. Another senseless killing. Charlene says a gentle giant is the best way to describe her son, who stood 6'4" tall.
He was quiet, he was easygoing, and he was peaceful. Damian was selective choosing his peers. He was somewhat a loner. He didn't talk a lot and always was humble. He was best described as a gentle giant because of his height. If he was ever in a crowd, you would never notice him because he was always laid back, just listening and smiling.
Charlene and her husband, Scott James, started dating when Damian was 8 months old, and Scott wrapped his arms around Damian as his own son from then on.
That was awesome. I couldn't really ask for a better son, you know, as father and son. We gravitated toward the same thing, so when I was younger and Damian was younger, I used to take him with me to play basketball. I was into music. I took Damian to the studio with me, so he got into music.
Damian's love of basketball, passed on from his dad, followed Damian to Champaign's Central High School, where you might remember him as a star player for the Maroons until graduation in 2006. Assistant boys basketball coach LaConte Nix called him a gifted athlete.
One of the best athletes that's ever been through here. He's probably 40-inch vertical. He's a freak, man. He looked like his body was chiseled. Like, we used to call him Mr. Clean because he cleaned the glass because he can get off the ground. He was just he's a phenomenal athlete. Phenomenal. He could have done everything. He would have been a Division I football player. You know, I mean, track. He would have been a Division I track athlete, and just raw talent, and just could do anything.
Little did anyone know then the tragedy that would come about 8 years later on November 18th, 2014. That heartbreaking day beginning when a resident on Forsythia Drive in the Shadowwood Mobile Home Park on North Market Street would find a car parked in front of his home around 8 in the morning, the engine running. Champaign Police Detective Jim Bednarz describes what was discovered next.
The person that lives there saw this car sitting out there, and it was a blue Dodge Caliber, and it was blocking part of his driveway. That's why he initially called us, because he saw this. He saw the guy in the front seat. I believe he was probably thinking he was sleeping or something, and so he didn't get a response out of him, so he called us, and that started this whole our investigation. Our officers arrived on scene, evaluated the scene, realized what had happened, that it looked like Damian had been shot, and then we started the full-blown investigation.
Detective Bednarz says the autopsy showed Damian had been shot once in the head, a shooting in the dark of the night, with very little evidence or witnesses coming forward. Bednarz says the evidence collected by the crime scene unit doesn't match anything in criminal databases. He says neighbors, even in the quiet of the night, said they didn't hear any gunshots or see anything. Not much to go on. What was Damian doing there in an isolated, dark area of the Shadowwood Mobile Home Park? Detective Bednarz has a theory.
And I do believe that the there was a little bit of a drug angle to this. That has been one of my theories, that he went to that trailer park to meet somebody. I don't think it was just a random stop for him. And I do believe that that's possibly one of the reasons why the homicide took place.
So did you consider him a major player in
no,
the drug scene here?
No,
or he
not
was
at all.
Just kind of...
And as a matter of fact, some of the people we spoke to said that he did a little bit of that. People were honest about that to me, which was helpful because then I don't have to be chasing down falsehoods or when people sugarcoat stuff, or it does make it much more difficult for us. And in cases like this, the fact that he might have sold some drugs might be a lead in the case. It's not like I was going to hold this against Damien. It wasn't like I was going to look down upon Damien for this. But sometimes people get that in their mind, and then they will hide those facts from us. And then it takes us that much long to uncover them, and we've lost that much ground. So the part that people came forth and said, hey, I'm going to be honest with you, he did dabble in this, helped me start putting some of these pieces together. It started to make sense of maybe why he was there at that hour of the night by himself in a trailer park. It helped start my investigation down those roads.
Damien had little criminal history, traffic offenses and drug charges, no violent or gun-related crimes, not known to carry a gun. Detective Bednarz says no drugs or weapons were found in the car or on Damien that morning, but the dabbling in drug sales was something Damien knew his parents wanted him to stop, and Damien was at the point where he was making plans to make changes in his life.
Well, Damien Troubles wanted to turn his life around like many of us. You make bad choices when you are young. No, Damien was not perfect, but he was not a bad person either. I know Damien would have done more great things in his life if he was still here. He had daughters who was looking at him, and he wanted to be here to see them grow up.
It wasn't for the prestige. Damien did get into some drug play. So yeah, he worked, but he also hustled because it was okay money, but it wasn't really enough money. So not to justify, but just for the understanding, because I feel like when you understand people's purpose, it also helps you understand them. So he wasn't hustling to have street cred or just money or what have you. Damien was hustling because he was taking his work money and putting it with his hustle money and taking care of the girls. So, no, I didn't agree with it as a father. And
still don't.
And still don't.
And but we talked to him about that.
That's why I got him the job, because I'm trying to pull him this way.
The week before Damien would be killed, he reached out to an old friend, Coach Nix, to go to lunch.
At the very end, I saw him, like I was driving somewhere, I think on the way to practice, and I just saw him in the parking lot, and I stopped and talked to him. He gave me his phone number and said, let's go to lunch. You know, I'm trying, you know, I mean, I've done some things that I shouldn't be doing, but I'm trying to change. And, you know, he was talking about helping him out, coming to the gym. I was like, I'd love to have him. And I think a week later, you know, the incident happened. I still haven't deleted his phone number from my phone to this day. Still in there. The last message that we talked about, and he called.
On Monday, November 17th, Damien was making final preparations for serving a 120-day sentence of electronic home detention for fleeing from Rantoul police, set to begin the next day. But Damien would never begin serving that sentence or meet Coach Nix for lunch or kiss his little girls, ages 4 and 7 at the time, goodnight ever again. Other things that happened that day would lead to deadly consequences only hours later. Detective Bednarz.
He did drive around a little bit. He had interactions with different people. The thing that stuck out to me was that he did have an argument with a person earlier in that day.
Do you know what it was about?
I suppose it was about money. And there again, another red flag. We ran that person down and I spoke to them. And at the end of the day, they were less than cooperative. So again, another red flag.
And you mentioned that argument.
I did.
Over money.
Over money.
Do you know if that dealt with drugs, that argument?
I believe it did. Okay. And again, it adds to this narrative or this idea that put together what Damien's last moments were all about. And again, it's not to diminish Damien or anything like that.
So do you know when he went to that trailer park that night?
We believe it was late evening, early morning. I'm going to say more late evening, 10 o'clock-ish is probably, we're guessing, around. And he was found around a little bit after 8 o'clock in the morning. But he had been there, for most of the night. The place that he was located at was fairly dark, not well lit. At that time, not a lot of traffic, so it could have happened maybe around midnight, 1 o'clock-ish.
Does it appear that he was going to any of those mobile homes in that neighborhood?
I don't think so. My impression was that he was just using that area just as a meeting place.
Out on the street?
Yes. Not necessarily that there was any homes associated or where he was visiting or anything like that. I just think the area itself was just a convenient place to meet. You know, off the beaten path a little bit. Somewhere where you wanted to go and speak to someone with somewhat of a anonymity, you know. And unfortunately, I think that's what played against Damien that night, was the fact that it was very secluded. We got no phone calls, whether a phone call of a suspicious nature or a shot, nothing.
Bednar says he believes Damien's killer is someone he knew and was comfortable with, that this was not a random act.
If you could say something to the people who did this, what would that be?
Oh, my God. It's too much to say you out loud, but I want to know why. What did he do so bad that you would want to kill him? I want him or them to know that they took something precious from her family and from the world. I want them to pay dearly for my son's death. No, it's not going to bring him back to me, but it's the last thing I can do for my son.
The detective says it doesn't appear to be gang-related, but still can't rule it out since it occurred in the midst of a series of deadly gang-related shootings around the time of Damien's death in 2014. Bednarz has zeroed in on several persons of interest and now is turning to you to help provide the key information needed to break the case open and get whoever killed Damien Henderson off the streets and bring closure to his grieving family. Were you there? Did you talk to someone who said they were there or who said they actually pulled the trigger or saw who did? Detective Bednarz wants to talk to you and will meet you wherever you want.
But with some of the physical evidence that we were able to retrieve, it's just not quite enough I have to get that probable cause to put someone in handcuffs. I just kind of need a couple more pieces of this evidence to fall in our favor. And that's the hardest thing for me in this one, is that there was very few people that would have witnessed this. But that doesn't leave me no hope. I'm always the eternal optimist. I do believe that whoever did this, whether they're person or persons, might have spoken to someone. And that's who I'm looking for. I'm looking for that one person or persons to come forward and say, hey, I or we know what happened because we were either there or more than likely the person talked to me. Like I said, maybe they made that mistake. Maybe they didn't really mean to have it turn out the way it did, but it did. And we lost, you know, Damien that night. So that's the person I'm reaching out to. Hopefully they hear this. Hopefully that conscience comes and says, okay, it's time for me to come forward and talk to the police. And again, you know, when they come and talk to me initially, it's no fanfare. No one needs to know about it. So just because they come in and talk to me initially doesn't mean their name's going to be put out there or anything. And I'm not going to lie, if this were to come to court, they would probably have to come forward. But again, I give them every assurance, we give them every protection, we make sure that nothing happens to them. And that is how these cases are solved, is when the person comes forward, does the right thing, and cooperates with us, and puts someone that should be held accountable for their actions, puts them to the test of will it stand.
And you said that, just to reconfirm, that there could have been more than one person.
There could have been, yeah.
That was meeting up with Damien that night.
Correct, yeah. And okay. And again, if there was more than one person, that second person might have been going there just to buy something. Well, that person could have been going there just as another driver. That second person might have had nothing to do with this. And honestly, if that is the case, that second person might have had no intention of it to go down the way it did. But now they have this obligation, if they were there, really, to come forward and to speak with us and put this to rest for Damien's sake, for his mom's sake, for his children's sake.
And I know that somebody knows what happened to him. Even if you don't want to go face to face with the detectives, you know, there's all type of ways that you can reach out to just give them that one piece of information that they could be looking for. You know, I mean, how would you feel if it was your child? There's no words that can explain the hurt, the void, the loss, you know, that I'm feeling. You know, knowing that there's people out here that know what happened to my child and will not do the right thing as far as helping one another, you know, helping everyone, you know, with all these murders that's unsolved. Somebody know what happened to each one of these murders out here. How could you live at night knowing that you know what happened to somebody's child? You know, and you wearing that burden on your heart, and then you look at that person who's hurting. How can you do that? You know, I can't do that. And I just feel like whoever knows anything, just please, just come forward. Help them out. Just please. That's all I'm asking. Because if it was you, I would do it for you if I knew.
Detective Bednar says he understands it can be hard to come to police, but adds that doing what's right can also ease your conscience.
I'm not going to minimize that there's always some angst of coming forward. There's some trepidations of speaking to the police. But I have cases where people have come and spoken to me, and at the end of the day, they are so grateful that they did that. They went to bat for the victim. They went and did what's right. And sometimes that feeling of doing what is right, it reassures them that they were on the right path. They did what was needed to be done. Again, I would try to let them know that doing the right thing definitely has its benefits.
Anyone with information can call Detective Jim Bednarz directly at 403-6957. 403-6957, or you can reach him through the front desk at 351-4545, 351-4545.
Again, I'm always the optimist, the eternal optimist, that we will solve this. And I want to solve this on behalf of a society. This is how we need to do this. We need to stop this violence. But I also want to solve it for Damien. I want to solve it for his mom and dad, his kids. I mean, there's a whole list of people, I think, that deserve this to be closed. And we shouldn't allow someone that has done this to get away with it.
I just want justice for him. It would mean everything to me for us to get justice. This is the last thing that I can do for my son. I believe I will be able to rest better in knowing his killer is not walking around enjoying his life when my son is gone. Justice for me is closure, and I need closure for my family and for his girls. And I'm asking that the detectives to please don't give up and to do whatever it is to take to bring the killers or killers to justice. I will never give up, and I will pursue this case until the day I die.
Had Coach Nick's been able to meet with Damien, he would have told him,
to church is one thing I do, to talk to older mentors has been where he was, and that's changed their lives. And just to, you know, just try to hang around more positive people. Like I said, I want to get a hold of him, give him in the gym, give him around kids because he's got such a great soul, and he was a great kid. He's trying to be a better parent and just teach him lessons, tell him about some of the stuff that I've done and did, and just try to help him that way as much as possible. And like I said, everybody makes mistakes and everybody deserves a second chance.
Again, this is a case that has really weighed on me. This is one of my only unsolved homicides, and I have unfortunately have had quite a few. But I always, in all of these, you know, you reach out, your victim, in this case Damien. Yeah, he's my victim, but I have so many other victims in this case. His children, his girlfriend, his mom, his dad. And so those are my new victims when I start these cases. And I would really like to have some closure, especially for Charlene. She and I speak quite a bit, and she and I pray quite a bit. And I just do. I pray for the closure for her so that she can put this to rest. It's not going to bring Damien back. But knowing that we've done our job, that the person responsible for this will take responsibility for that, I think it would be very beneficial for Charlene to close that, you know, that dark, sad chapter of her life and move forward and move on. You know, remember Damien for the person that he was, but also know that the person that was responsible for this is being held responsible.
There is no words to fully describe how my life has changed over these last 4 years. I had to reset my mind to come back into the world to interact with people. I still have anxiety when I drive down Market Street near where Damien was killed. Some days I'm angry, sad, and mad when I think about my son. And then other days, remembering him gives me comfort. Losing Damien was the hardest thing I've ever gone through.
Never really know. He was at the church with me. He was helping me clean up. We were talking. you know, of course. And that's why those moments kind of are special, because not knowing that that was the last time I was actually going to talk to him, that time that we were at the church, you know, resonates. It's always right there. You know, if you knew Damien as a person, you would know that he didn't deserve any of this, regardless to what his extracurricular activities were. No one deserves to die doing anything.
For Charlene and Scott, Damien lives on through their granddaughters, Janiyah, now 12, and Jada, now 8, like in the way he walked, a vein that you could see in his forehead when he laughed really hard, his love of gummy bear candy. And it's for the girls, Charlene says, is why she wants to get into the holiday spirit this year and decorate a Christmas tree.
My faith in God and the love of my family has been my strength. The Bible says, "The vengeance is the Lord." I believe in my heart that Damien's killer is suffering and God is dealing with him. I know justice will prevail, and I'm waiting for that day to come.
I'm Carol Varell.